You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why is that not at the start? I have to edit now the start of this. 1 second. All you want is right, it's annoying. Right, let's see if it does it now. Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. So, another week, another podcast. Where to start? We'll go through some bullet points. Now, not actually top of the championship. That's a big one, isn't it, from last week. Still got that game in hand. The Chelsea game at the weekend, out of the FA Cup. But I think, all things considered, plenty of positives or some positives to take away from that one. So on the podcast today, a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by some fans. Rick's been hastily, busily rounding up the troops for this afternoon. Just want to hear your guys say what you think about the current situation as well. Financial fair play, PSR, may get the odd mention as well. Quick one as well. The last couple of weeks, there's been no Jack. Just so people know, Jack is just having a bit of a time away from the pod. Just had his little girl, didn't he, just a few weeks away. So if people are wondering where Jack is, he's just having a little bit of time off. So I'm joined by Jordan and Rick this week. And Rick, we'll come to you, mate. How are you? You've been busy all afternoon trying to find some fans to come onto the pod, which should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, Jake. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good, mate. Not bad. Not bad.
Good. Yeah. I'm obviously a bit up and down about the football yesterday, but with it not being a league game, I know still wanted us to get to the semis, especially as Coventry had got through, but, you know, got to take the positives, and we know what the negatives are because we saw them again yesterday, but I think focus on the positives mainly now into the international break. I feel like we need the break as fans as well, because I think we're equally, if not worse, when it comes to being absolutely fatigued as the squad is. But there was enough there from certain individuals that it was really pleasing. We'll get on to that. But yeah, I'm all right, thanks, mate. Feel more positive than I have in recent weeks, mentally and physically. But we'll get on to that, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, look, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I'll be honest, I've kind of gone the other way in terms of how I'm feeling about where we're at the moment. I just think that psychological switch of Leeds now being top and just the form that those guys are in. I think Southampton have got two games in hand but 8 points, I think, behind. So you can't rule them out either. And I think I'm right in saying Southampton have got to play pretty much everyone the top. All of us, I think it's Leeds and Southampton on the last day as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am now absolutely terrified.
I spotted that in your messages, mate, because you I've obviously been going wild for weeks and sort of either resigned or now in that next stage of denial or trying to comfort myself, whereas I think you've now dropped in where I was a few weeks back.
I am.
It's not a nice place, mate, but we'll be all right.
I think I agree, though, that
Jordan Halford.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all need to be a bit more like Jordan, but I think I agree that the international break come at a good time. Vardy, Ndidi, Ricardo, you know, a little bit of a break for them, and then hell for leather to get the results and get over the line. But Jordan, how are you, pal? I know you've been in Belfast over the weekend. Not a stag do this time. The man who, I mean, you haven't been on many stag do's this year. It was every other week last year. You seemed to be on one.
I know. I was just going to say, I feel like me and Rick might have swapped round now because, I was away for the weekend. First time I've been away this year for a friend's birthday in Belfast. And I just knew this weekend was going to be an awful sporting weekend. Obviously, Rick's favourite team got to Wembley, which was sickening. And then you just knew all the results were going to go against us. I didn't even look at the Ipswich result until after the game, and that just doesn't surprise me. Because obviously they lost the week before, so decent reaction. The football was awful. Not the less of the game, but the rest of the results didn't go for us. And being in Belfast, obviously had to watch the Six Nations, which, you know, I'm a massive fan of me rugger. So that was an experience. But no, I had a good weekend. I managed to watch the game, or the majority of the game. And then as soon as I walked through my door, they scored in stoppage time and then obviously got the fourth. And pretty much after that, I've spent the rest of my time in bed because I feel absolutely awful. I feel a bit better now. But I should say, it's my dad's 70th birthday today. So happy birthday to him. We just went to the pub earlier, came back straight in bed, ready for the pod.
Did you have another pint? Do you have some more pints today?
Had one pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
I don't believe this. Oh, it tastes better in Ireland, but maybe that's because I had about 30 pints over 2 days of it.
Yeah, they might have something to do with it. On the football, though, and the Chelsea result, what's your feeling, George, towards that? And because I thought that there was plenty of positives in there. You know, this is, I know, a massively underperforming Premier League team, but away from home, and they obviously fielded a strong team, and we matched them. You know, we can talk about maybe the penalty decisions and anything else which you think was particularly significant in the game. But you know, whilst you're always going to be disappointed not to win a game, particularly when it goes that close to the end, I think that psychologically that's not going to do the lads any damage. I think they'll take plenty from that.
Yeah, agree. I'm a bit perturbed. I don't know how to look at it, but I'll start with the positives, I suppose. At 2-0 down at half time, you're fearing the worst, aren't you? You think we could get absolutely pummeled here, and what that would do for the confidence going into the rest of the season would be probably catastrophic. But fair play to the lads, because to get back in the game, albeit the first goal was a freak, but I think that comes from Daka's pressing, putting him under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, we've said before, Daka's pressing is fantastic. And yeah, we got back in the game. Steffi needed that. He really needed that. I mean, I've said before, I think both wingers probably are Premier League quality. You're not going to play well every week. And obviously, Steffi's not been playing well for the last few. But as soon as he got it, I thought he's going to score. But I just could tell. I knew what he was going to do. He obviously did it away at Ipswich. He has absolutely mastered that. Cut inside, whip it into the far corner. It was beautiful. Just wish I was in the way end because it looked fantastic. And I feel like we were in the ascendancy then. To be honest, I really fancied us to go and get a winner, which kind of would probably bring me on to the more negative aspects of our performance. And it's been the same for the last couple of weeks. I hate to bang on the same drum, but I just don't think Vestergaard's a Premier League footballer. And Fez has been pretty poor in the last few weeks as well. in the first two goals that we conceded were appalling. There was one where Sterling was clean through and popped it wide. It was two passes through the middle of the pitch and they're in clean through. And then obviously what was coming on to is the penalty. Well, the Doyle sending off slash penalty. For me, the ref got it right. It was outside the box. I actually wanted us to go down to 10 and them have the free kick rather than them have a pen and us stay with 11. I'm not really sure why, but again, straight through the middle of the pitch, Doyle's on the cover. He hasn't really got any other choice other than to just try and bring him down before the penalty box. But it all stems from a lack of pace. And we haven't got, without Ricardo, we have got no pace in that back four whatsoever. And even when Justin came on, he's been pretty poor the last few weeks. And I feel like the less possession we're having in games, the more that weakness is being shown. And obviously, the more of the ball you've got, the less risk you've got against your own goal anyway. But it's been it's really reared its head. I mean, the goal at Middlesbrough and at home to QPR, Fez is flying out of position, getting caught in behind, and Vestergaard's not quick enough, goal. And it's pretty much that easy. And when you play against a side like Chelsea, who have spent a lot of money, and with Sterling, who was appalling yesterday, but he's still absolutely lightning. And Cole Palmer's obviously a quality player. They're going to cause players like that all sorts of trouble. And I said, let's worry, you know, look ahead to next season. I'm not worried about that at the minute. But for me, if we do get up, yesterday showed that. I feel like we need to hold back four after watching that, to be honest. But what I'm concerned about is in the league, if we have less possession against teams, our weaknesses are going to get found out right at the wrong time of the season. And I know Rick mentioned it yesterday in our WhatsApp group, but look what Leeds are doing. They don't concede any goals. That was it at the start of the season. And now we're leaking a few. I mean, yesterday, probably they could have scored 5 or 6, to be honest. But I'm trying not to be too negative. Look, we know we've got the break coming up. Ricky will be back, and he's a huge, huge miss. I think we've really seen that recently. Winks, he looked back to somewhere near his best yesterday. KDH as well. And Steffi, hopefully his confidence will be flying after that. So we've got a bit of a break now. And I've seen all the lads on social last couple of days or after the game. They're all saying, right, now it's time to focus on our goal. So maybe Leeds going top will give them an extra kick up the arse that we need. I said it before, we've beat all these 9 sides, but now it's the business end. And, you know, look, Leeds will drop points. Ipswich will drop points. We wouldn't have thought Ipswich would lose last week. Leeds are due a bit of a dodgy result. And it's still in our hands. We've got to go and finish the job. But, you know, going out the cup, there's no disgrace yesterday whatsoever. Like I say, they could have folded it 2-0 down and got buried, but we didn't. We came back and gave ourselves a chance. And I think ultimately the red card killed us in the end. So plenty of positives to take. And we focus on promotion now. You know, a day out at Wembley would have been nice, but hopefully next season, Leicester Chelsea's a league fixture. And whoever we got would have got in the semi will be a league fixture. So we won't be worried about it. And, you know, I love the FA Cup, but not this year. Not to be. Maybe next season.
Yeah, myself and Rick nodding at pretty much everything you said there, George. Yeah, a very good analysis on the game and some of the individuals. And I agree, there's kind of no real point critiquing the guys in terms of whether they're good enough for the Premier League. But it kind of reaffirms lots of the things we've spoken about previously. You know, a good group of players, more than good enough to get out of this league. But yeah, they definitely need some help if we did go up. And Rick, on that one, saying like if we go up, and we were talking about the nerves which are coming through myself now on the WhatsApp. We were chatting earlier because we want to do another live show, right? You know, we've done a few of these.
Yes, we do.
We very much enjoyed them. We need to work out a date. You know,
well, we're all thinking party, weren't we? We're thinking, yeah, narrow boats and Harry Winks and. You know,
naturally,
just all sorts of debauchery. But now it could be a wake if we're not careful. And I know I started this podcast and may have come across positive, more positive as in like my personal outlook rather than necessarily the football. But George just nailed it, bless him. It nearly covered pretty much everything I was going to say. I won't go over too much ground that is covered, but I think we do need to reiterate the defensive concerns. It's funny, and I'm not going to dig you out, Jake, but a couple of weeks ago, you said...
No, but
I think you were right in the sense that it looked like defensively we're okay. But I think the warning signs have been there, and suddenly now you're thinking, no shit, defensively there has been the warning signs. They are out of form. We're no longer controlling possession so that, you know, the lack of pace gets exposed. But now, I mean, it's probably hysteria setting. It was a bit like when we thought we had a set-piece issue. That hasn't actually then gone on to be a problem in recent weeks. But now I'm convinced... if we carry on with Vestergaard and Fast for the rest of the season, I genuinely think we might not go up. That's how, like, black and white I'm seeing it now. Probably not the case. But something's changed from, I don't know, the first 25-plus games in the league to what we're now seeing. Now, you know, yesterday's game, we were playing a Premier League team, albeit one that's, you know, been all over the shop themselves. But if we don't dominate possession, as George says... then what happens? They're going to look to expose our weakness. And that's usually, we seem to be out of position in both areas of the pitch at the minute. That was the one thing that I really praised Enzo. We saw it under Rodgers and it was like, why are we always out of position? Don't matter what formation or tactics we put out, seemingly like when we broke forward, we never had the right number of players attacking the box. And coming back the other way, we didn't seem to have the protection. Under Enzo, that seemed to be... absolutely fine. Recently, it's not. I can't work out whether it's tactically we've changed or whether it's a case of there's players out of form. I mean, Fez looks like he's just scrabbling around. He's the equivalent of Mavididi has been. But the thing is, we have to play Mavididi because we've got no different... we've got no alternatives, really. We could play Wanya, which we've been calling for, but really, there's no experience or form there. We have got the five best centre halves in the league 100%. As a squad, not necessarily individually. Some teams are saying no, so and so is better, but you're not telling me that those five, they I mean, Suter and Cody would. I had this conversation with Jack on WhatsApp. They are the sorts of players, if they were at Ipswich or Leeds, they'd be mustered because
no, you're 100% right, mate. 100%.
Yeah, they're no really? Nonsense defenders.
Are you Suter's agent? Because you mention him every week.
I feel like I should do, mate, because at this level, he's you're right. I mean, I'm flogging a dead horse because he's not going to play him.
It's not going to happen, is it?
What is like? Enzo's comments after the game concern me as well, because he's right that the principles that we deploy, he's not going to change it. It don't matter who we play. This is how we're going to play. This is Leicester City. This is our DNA. Fine. If we've got the right players or they're informed to play it. We've got 9 games to go now. We haven't got time or the luxury of playing our way into next season where we might be better at it. If we don't get promoted, this club is potentially on its arse for years to come. Because what's to come with potential breaches and deductions, whatever, even if we didn't have any of that, that second season when you've not got up is horrible. Norwich have like looked like they've blown it and then are now coming back. But that's the sort of difference that you've got. It's not a guarantee. This is our chance. So I'm not expecting him to go and rip it up. But Fez and Vestergaard together at the minute is just not working. They've got no pace. We've always known that. The rest of the team can't seem to retain possession. So he's got to be pragmatic. He's the best thing that Enzo's done all season has been he's got to the international breaks and he's looked at what's going wrong and he's fixed it. I'm praying that this is what he's going to do because we've got to. Ipswich and Leeds may well drop some points, but they're not going to drop many. You know, they're probably at least going to average probably 2 points a game for the next 8 or 9, whatever they've got left. We've got one more game than them. Southampton have got 2 more than them. But they're not going to drop that many. We've got to win 6, I reckon, minimum. And that's not easy with our fixtures. And we could do well and still only get there or thereabouts. So we've got to change things. We can't just assume that we can go back to the first half of the season. Teams has sensed that there's a weakness there and they're going to keep pushing. He's got to recognise that and change it. I think Cody's got to come in, or Nelson with his pace, or a combination of things. George Wright, Justin's been wafty recently, but again, he's the only one with pace. I bigged up Hamza the other week. He had a phenomenal game away at Leeds and then away at Bournemouth. But I just think that inverted fullback needs to be done away with whilst Pereira's not around. Mm. Look at yesterday, the goals that came in, he didn't know what to do because he was drawn out of position. Ricardo seems to be able to be everywhere, but he's got to do something. His principles are admirable, but right now we've got 9 games to go, and like, if he doesn't sort it, we're done for. So that's the long and short of it for me. Mm. There's positives, which we can come on to now. But yeah, for me, I'm really concerned. As you said, Leeds have conceded about 6 goals in the last 16 games. We've conceded 16 probably in the last 6. Probably not that bad, but that's the sort of differentiation. You know, defences win titles. That's why we were top of the league. We're not now. We've got to recognise that.
And we did have an incredibly superior goal difference as well. Mm. I remember at one point, I think it was halfway through the season, there was the teams of the season going around and there was Leicester defenders in there, and Leeds fans were screaming, saying, where's Rodon? Where's Ampadu? And we'll turn around saying, well, look, we're 15 points clear of you and we've got a 17 goal, better goal difference. So that's why they're in there. But now it's completely swung. And Rick, I'll let you start lining up these callers, but Jordan, Daniel Farker, I actually listened to a bit of his press conference earlier. And he was saying that this is his favorite part of the season. And that made me really nervous. Do you know what I mean? Because you think about how we're feeling right now. Are we looking forward to the next 9 games? Leeds are, Ipswich are. I think they're absolutely buzzing.
Well, he's got quite a good record at getting teams promoted, hasn't
yeah.
he? And obviously,
outstanding, yeah.
You know, look, say they've gone top yesterday, but it's only on goal difference. And I know our game in hand against Southampton, but it's in our hands.
Here he goes.
But they do band about, you know, momentum's a funny thing in football, and all the momentum's with Leeds, but all it takes is one weekend where they don't pick up 3 and we have a convincing win, and then the momentum changes like that. So it does feel like, you know, the last few weeks the weakness has been exposed, and there's a lot of nervousness around the fan base. Like I said before, that negativity, that nervousness, it does creep into the players. It creeps into the training ground and the stadium.
Yeah, of course it will. But does that not then worry you? Because say that Elland Road atmosphere, whether you think it's nonsense or not, that is going to pull that ball into the goal. And that nervousness around the KP at the moment, again, that's going to do the complete opposite. I think that it's not just about football now, Jordan. That's my point. You know, it's not about looking at who we're playing, you know, how they're doing in the league, who's got the better team. It's about something much bigger now. And Leeds have got a track record. And you can also look at Ipswich last year of getting promoted, of being able to deliver in these moments. The DNA, if you want to call it, of Leicester over the last 5 years is the complete opposite. It's in these crucial moments, it completely and utterly lose the seat of their pants.
It is the business end, isn't it? But, you know, we have got, like I say, we've got experience in that dressing room. We've got FA Cup winners in there. We've got international players. I appreciate collectively, you know, you look at last season, absolute disaster, and people do argue about the 2 fifth place finishes, which we were accused of bottling it both times. But
we did.
I still believe that I'm always going to believe that we're going to get the job done. I was probably too blasé, but look, I think everyone was. We were cruising. We were 15 points clear, like I said, but the best attack, best defence. We were playing well pretty much every week and didn't look anywhere near like dropping points, let alone losing games, let alone losing 3 in a row. So I think a big thing is the last international break was in November. So it's 4 months, a relentless, you know, I think Enzo said it before the Chelsea game, 4 months of 2 games a week, it is tiring. And we haven't had the luxury really of being able to rotate the team that much. Whereas now we've got a couple of weeks off, albeit, you know, we've got 2 games in 4 days over, you know, the Easter weekend, and the EFL is always a huge weekend for teams to get promoted. But Ricardo should be back. Wilf, you know, he's had a couple of games in his legs and he'll have a big rest. Winks, KDH, Mavadidi, all looks a lot better at Chelsea. You know, we've got Vardy to come back, who read Rob's piece the other day. It's the best minutes to goals ratio he's gotten in his whole career at Leicester, which is pretty staggering, really. I appreciate he's not played as many games. And I think that was one of your defences of Iheanacho, Jake, that his goals to minute ratio is pretty high.
It's not a defence. It's a fact, mate. can't use it for Vardy and not use it for Iheanacho, mate.
You can do anything for Jamie. But yeah, like Rick says, I personally look to bring Cody in. He's been there and done it with Wolves. And yeah, you know, it might be Farker's favourite point of the season, but they could still finish third and not go up in the playoffs. It's pretty wide open now. And we are in a race. But I still think over the course of the games that we've played so far, we're the best side. It's just that, like you say, it's business end. It's about mentality. But we should have that. We've got experience and we've got the players. And as Rick rightly points out, I mean, Enzo's done a terrific job this season. We are seeing those weaknesses come to the fore now because we are not keeping the ball as well as we perhaps did. And other teams are thinking, hang on, we can get these. And maybe there's an element that we're thinking that ourselves. We're a bit low on confidence and think, fucking hell, you know, we're shipping a few goals. But Enzo rightly in the international break has figured out what we need to do previously. And I'm confident that he'll be able to do it again. But the next two are huge.
Mm-hmm. Right then, we've got some callers today, some fans coming onto the pod. As I said, Rick, you've been busy finding these. So who have we got up first, pal?
Right, Wilby's in the house. Oi, oi!
Hey, boys, how are you?
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you, Rick?
Yeah, good. I've actually been messaging Wilby recently because he follows the academy and you know what my views are on the academy. Obviously, a big advocate of it and think that the club need to be doing more in communicating what's going on. But yeah, Wilby's been doing some articles which are brilliant, so long may that continue. But yeah, Jake, over to you to ask the questions, pal. But really, it's we're just getting folks on to tell us, go for it, whatever you want to say. I mean, we've covered Chelsea a little bit, but yeah, whatever.
So I reckon will be the question is, where do you sit at the moment? Are you on the Jordan side of the forever optimist, we'll be fine, we're the best team? Or maybe on the my side of things, thinking, crap, we've been here before the last few years and it doesn't seem to end well for us?
Yeah, a little bit of both, really. I mean, I've always been from the Jordan kind of school of thought. I've always thought kind of we'll be all right, but a lot of the times when we've lost games, we've looked pretty good, haven't we? I mean, with the exception of maybe QPR at home, especially both Leeds and Borough games and Hull at home, we were, you know, as good as they were, we were really competitive. So in terms of promotion, I'm pretty optimistic. The Chelsea game made me a little bit, and I really enjoyed being in the away end yesterday, but I was a little bit almost, I didn't think the signs for next season were as positive after that as I thought they had been early in the season. I thought we could have been 3 or 4 nil down, as you probably, I guess, touched on already. And we kept, there's two big moments, isn't it? Two kind of freak, moment of brilliance, moment of madness that get us into it. And one thing I was going to ask you guys about, and I was a little bit worried about, is that we don't really seem to have the minerals to kind of sit in a low block. You know, it's been, when we've had 10 men, it's been Cov and it's been Chelsea, and also Leeds when the momentum shift. Whenever we have that kind of 10-minute period in the game where we've just got to kind of sit it out a little bit and have the pressure on us, we always look like we're going to concede. You know, we never seem to, our box defending is never quite on point. I don't know if you guys, I mean, you know, when we're at home, when we're in control, it's all quite positive and I'm always confident that we'll get back into it. But those spells where we're a little bit off it, it is worrying, you know, upper level, what they can do to us.
I think that's one for you, Rick.
Yeah.
You love a low block.
Well, I'd love a low block. That's what I want suture in. It was interesting yesterday because, I mean, I didn't really get what he was trying to do with. We've gone down to 10, which is what it is, but we had to win the game somehow. It's a cup game, isn't it? A point is doesn't get you anything. You don't get it. So he was obviously trying to get to extra time and then regroup. And then you got another 30 minutes with 10 men, which just It was bizarre because the Coventry game and the Chelsea game, when we've gone down to 10 men, you watch other teams, usually the ones when they play us, when they've gone down to 10 men, they still manage to create things, but we don't. And he said himself after the game, he doesn't like defending deep. Well, he doesn't. His tactics when we do go down to 10 men contradict that anyway, because we don't keep going forward. I don't know what he could have done differently in the short space of time. But, I mean, Jonathan Pearce, I watched it at home. They were baffled that we used our sub windows all individually. They were like, he can't make any more subs. Does he realise that? And I was like, yeah, he will do, because Enzo, he treats the bench like it's like a piece of cress. It's a pointless food item, and the bench to Enzo is like he don't trust it. So I think Cody's the answer. I mean, he was only on for a little bit of time, but he was the one encouraging when Fass got whacked in the face and he went down. Cody was saying, like, stay down, let's. He was trying to organize, trying to calm things down and talk things through. Every time a block went in, or so he's been there, you know. We saw this under Rodgers. We were abysmal for the dark arts and, you know, playing the game. I thought under Enzo, as an Italian manager, he'd be cynical and we would see it. We've not really. Hopefully, when he gets more experience, that he'll realise we need to do that. But, yeah, I think we need, in the next 9 games, there's got to be a shift in our pragmatism with defending. He's got to swallow his principles for 9 games, because his philosophy... with, you know, quality players that you get in the Premier League won't happen if we don't go up. He's got one chance at this. He's got 9 games now to salvage it. It's a funny one, because I think defensively we're a mess at the minute, and certainly when we get down to 10 men, I don't get the tactics at all.
Yeah, it was weird, because I watched his press conference earlier from after the game yesterday, and he basically said he couldn't be asked with extra time. He said he'd defending like this for another half an hour, we may as well have just conceded in 90 minutes anyway. So it doesn't exactly give too much confidence. But I guess the issue also with the low block is that the whole game, Kiernan, I guess you maybe best player, arguably the best player on the pitch, wasn't he? Our best player. He was the only one in the transitions getting us up the field. You know, he's the only out ball, really. And so it's a concern that, you know, we've not really got anywhere to go. If we lose him in the summer, with this, the finances background, that's a real concern, isn't it?
Massively.
I feel like yesterday, I don't know if you thought this, Rick, but when we went down to 10, had Yunus just come on before?
He'd come on 5 or 10 minutes before, hadn't he, for Fatawu, and had not really done a lot.
Yeah, I thought that killed us a bit, because I thought Yunus would be the one to come back off. But he did that the other week to him, and I think he probably thought, I can't do it to him again.
No, but that would have been 5 minutes. the shortest sub in the history of football.
Yunus came on after 63 minutes.
Oh, did he?
So,
okay.
Yes, so 10 minutes before Doyle was sent off.
I'd have brought him off. That would have been the one I'd have done. And just stick Mavididi up there and Patson. And park it. But I think you're right, Will, be like, when we do park it, bizarrely, it doesn't seem to me that teams really rain crosses in on us that much. And when you've got Yannick, Cody on the pitch, and Fez, who are fairly decent in the air between them all. But, you know, the third goal, it was a bit of quality, but Fez, he's got his heels on the floor. He's square on. And I know it's like not his man, but it's like, come on,
yeah.
I don't know how to go any further. It's just poor. And then the fourth goal is a bit of a fluke, but again, it's a mess of our own making, and it's a bit of a write-off. But it's funny you should say that, because I got in my house yesterday. I was watching it on my phone. As soon as I got in the house, I said to my dad, it's going to be another half an hour of this. And he goes, if it even gets that far, bang, 3-2.
Yeah,
there you go.
And there's always a fourth, isn't there? There's always another one. It's never just
never for us.
Yeah.
Will, before we let you go and get our next quarter on, obviously just a quick then word on the academy, because I know that Rick obviously likes to bang the drum for it, keeps talking about the young players. Well, no, it's good to do the players we've got coming through. It'd be interesting to get your perspective though. What have you made of them? Anyone to look out for? It'd be interesting to have the same or slightly different names to the ones Rick mentions.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought I'd kind of start going along a little bit, and hopefully a couple of people might read and kind of learn something, because like Rick says, the club don't really do too much. I mean, I guess Silco Thomas is probably the one. I know Rick's talked about him. He looked exciting. And I think as well, the back four, the way that we kind of mirror Enzo's system, I think Ben Grist in particular looked really comfortable in that, inside and out wide as well. Gosmark Ford at the back there is quite consistent as well. I mean, it's always difficult to kind of judge, I guess, who's ready for the step up without watching them kind of away home week in, week out. Yeah, I think that, I mean, people look at the Premier League 2 table and say, oh, Petty's not quite getting the best out of them. But when you kind of go, you realise that it's actually more kind of about, you know, the fact that we're getting so many players through. Enzo's doing really well at that. Brendan, to be fair to him, was often quite good at giving those players chances as well. So it's the alignment between the 21s and the first team is really, really positive to see. So hopefully we can keep, we've been in good form recently, so hopefully keep going with that.
All right, top stuff. All right, then, Wilby, mate, thank you very much indeed for your time this evening. Some really good points there, mate. You take care and keep
brilliant.
On listening.
Cheers, guys. Thank
cheers,
you.
Mate. Cheers, mate.
Right, top stuff. So, swiftly moving on, because we've got a few to get through this evening. Rick, our next guest, who do we have?
Yeah, we've got Mason Gale. Hello, mate. How you doing, pal?
Hi, Mason. I think you're on mute, pal. Oh, now you're back off.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. How are you, mate?
Perfect. I'll turn it around, actually. Should work better. There we go.
Spot on.
Right, go on, Rick.
Yeah, so Mason, obviously I'm doing the intro. So you're a journalism student, and you also, are you part of a non-league team? Are you based up north in Manchester?
So I'm at uni up north, yes. Yeah, so I'm at uni in Manchester, but obviously originally from Leicester, yeah.
Good lad.
What are you studying, Mason?
Yeah. Multimedia sports journalism.
Oh, very nice. And what year? First, second, third?
Third year now, so nearly at the end of it.
Done. Good the stuff. Hard bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You'll
be following in the footsteps of these pair then.
Well, exactly.
Take it, George.
Yeah, what's the plan, mate? Do a little career chat.
It could be anything. The world of journalism's gone massive in all forms now, not just written, obviously media, like what we're doing here. So it's all keeping my options open, looking in the job market as we speak, really. And I'm happy any sport, really, either. So just keeping my eyes open at the moment.
All right, top stuff. All right, then, Mason, I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Wilby in terms of the general feeling that you've got at the moment. Are you on the side of Jordan and thinking that everything's going to be all right? Because it always is, right? Or that we should probably be really kind of nervous now, which is where I'm sat.
It's a tough one, really, because obviously we've got the financial situation that we're all still really in the dark about what could happen in the future if we go up, if we stay down. So it's a tough one. But in terms of this season, I think we showed it at Chelsea there the weekend. Obviously, there was really positive elements, but then there was also those minutes of lack of concentration, which are costing us, and it's cost us probably in the past couple of months in the Championship as well.
Yeah. I mean, what did you make then of the game against Chelsea? I think we've all been kind of saying that I thought it was a pretty decent performance, but maybe areas there that, again, shows a little bit of concern if we were to be promoted, that there would need to be quite a lot of changes within that group, particularly maybe at the back, and a lack of pace, or maybe just a lack of form. How do you see it?
There was definitely a bit of, I think it was almost naivety with the way we were committing forward. Obviously, we had Chowdhury playing in the inverted fullback role, which is obviously Pereira's probably our most suited option for it. He's probably a bit more smarter in the role. But there's a few times where Chowdhury was caught out of possession, and Jackson was really, he was creative with it, and he really exposed that space that we were vacating in the right back position. And obviously, same again with Vestergaard, who got caught out pretty easily by Jackson as well, where that lack of pace obviously really hurt us.
Lads, Rick, Jordan.
I was going to say, Mason, me and Rick are kind of on the side of bringing Cody back into the team now. I'd probably go for Fez, to be honest, Cody and Vestergaard at the back, but would you make any changes to the back four?
I think Cody definitely does seem like a massive option to the squad at the moment. Obviously, I've seen Atletico article about a week ago that said the same thing, and I think we're all starting to agree. It's just a great leadership option to the team, which we're currently, when you look at the squad overall, we're lacking. I mean, you've not got many players in the squad that have, at the moment, obviously with Pereira and Vardy both injured, and obviously we don't know how long they're going to be fully. So that leadership and quality to guard quite a young squad, an inexperienced squad through it, will definitely help.
Mm. Jordan, that wasn't you who wrote that article, was it?
No, friend of the show, Big Rob.
Was it? Rick, if you were working for The Athletic, right, and you got told you're allowed to write one article about Leicester, but you've got two options, it's either about Harry Suter or John Rudkin, which would you do?
Definitely Suter. It be the only one that would be fit for to be published.
Yeah, good point.
He'd praise Rudkin for signing him.
Yeah.
Not for 15 million. He'd just come back from an ACL. But anyhow. Obviously, we didn't cover the positives too much before we then got onto the calls. But KDH yesterday, a few of us have said it was a really positive performance from him because he's been scrabbling for form. Thought he was very good at Leeds away. But other than that, either side, I don't think he's done as much. And then Mavadidi, I mean, he was having a bit of a, not a stinker, but he was anonymous. I do think him and Fatua at the minute seem to flip-flop with who's the one that's actually going to be involved. It'd be lovely if both could be involved in games. I think, well, we'll blow teams away. That's probably what we're missing. But, are there any other positives that perhaps, well, not that we've mentioned, but any that are perhaps less obvious that you took away from yesterday?
It's tough, really. Obviously, the one you mentioned about the wingers, obviously, it is definitely, it does seem like one's firing when the other one's not, and it'd be brilliant if they both did. Obviously, I think Fatawu yesterday was very predictable in what he was going to do, which didn't help, and it got took off straight after we got the first goal back. But positive-wise, I think the old midfield trio with Ndidi coming back in and starting one of his first games back, I think they definitely worked. That was definitely our best trio by a long way, and it's probably obvious to see, but I think both Winks and Ndidi yesterday as well were back to their best, from definitely what we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's a good point on Ndidi because, I mean, we've been crying out for him, haven't we? And it's almost his performance went under the radar compared to Dewsbury Hall's, but it was equally as important. Just hope, fingers crossed, he's off to Nigeria again now for 2 weeks. Could have done with him staying put, but yeah, we'll see. Good,
we've
good.
Mentioned Wilf today.
No, we haven't, have we? Mm. And he played massive. Well, I mean, I'm thinking as well, if we are going to continue with Fez and Vestergaard, then does Ndidi drop in to be able to protect the back line? It's hardly where, I mean, the back line need protecting from the ball over the top, not necessarily run through the midfield. But, you know, I'm questioning everything now defensively on what we do. But
I think we mentioned this at the start of the season, didn't we? When we brought in Winks. I mean, I remember I certainly did think him. You've got Ndidi here, and it felt like a square peg in a round hole. Asked him to play in an eight. Obviously, those conversations disappeared because he really kind of grew into that position, didn't he? But it is an interesting point to make because, as you said, that lack of pace in that position. But as we've touched on so many times, Enzo is absolutely rigid to that philosophy, and
we're doubling
that involves,
down on it, isn't he?
Well, but you know what I mean? There's no way that Harry Winks get moved out of that position. And, you know, indeed, he can't play that same role as what as Winks does. He can play in the same position, but completely differently. So it's just not going to happen, is it?
Well, no, but or does he just drop in? So rather than us playing two eights, we play more a double six, if you want to call it that. Whether that gives us any more solidity at the back. I mean, personally, I think we just need to break up the Fez and Vestergaard partnership for now. I think both of them are out of form. Both of them they've always had a lack of pace. We've got away with it because we were so dominant on the ball. I mean, Piper said, he made a comment, I listened to the aftermath of yesterday on When You're Smiling Pod, and he said one of our tactics is that we dominate possession for the entire game, and then as we've worn teams down, we get stronger in the final 15 minutes and we win games. No, that was the opening 10, 15 games, wasn't it? Yeah, what's actually happening now is we tend to score early, usually in the first 20 minutes, and then we stop, we give the impetus of possession up. We certainly stop going forward, and we aren't the ones that are scoring late. We're conceding late. So if that is a tactic of Maresca's for the last 20 games, we're not doing it. Yet he's not challenging them or demanding that they do it. So not that, I mean, Piper's right in that was what was so sort of endearing about us to start with, but that, you know, that is it's a pipe dream at the minute, excuse the pun.
Very good. Mason, last one then, mate, before you let you go. What is your gut feeling then for the rest of the season? I know, puff of the old cheeks, unfair question, but
really
if you had to call it.
We've got to really hit the ground running, coming back from the international break, obviously playing Friday, Monday. There is going to be two really important games. And you've got to take the opposition out of every game now. We've got to play our best. And obviously we've got the luxury of the game in hand, and then you realise it's Southampton. So it doesn't look good, especially taking in recent form. But I think we'll get over the line. But I don't know if it will be that top spot in the end of the end of the season.
Yeah. All right then, mate. Well, look, Mason, good luck with the rest of the year, mate.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. You see
cheers,
you
Mason.
On the Athletic or TalkSport or Sky Sports.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, pal.
Have a good night. Cheers.
Thanks. Take care, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Right, next one on the way. Lads, just while we wait for the next one, two names we haven't mentioned at all for different reasons. Yeah, he was going to be one of them. So let's start there. Stolarček. Jordan, I really rate him.
Same.
I really, really rate him. He's just got an aura about him where you feel safe.
Yeah.
Now, I know some people said, oh, you know, he's not, you know, as good as Hermans with his feet. Like, fine. Right, I think it's an unfair comparison. I don't think you should even really mention it because it's Hermansson's probably number one quality. Solacek is just a really good goalkeeper. And I was actually thinking earlier, I wonder what's best for him, because I think that it's great that Enzo's trusting him and he's played the game he has done this year. But would he benefit from next year being a number one at a championship club? Because I'd love to see what his ceiling is. I think that he's got all the tools to be a top class goalkeeper.
I'm completely with you, mate. And it makes you wonder what on earth we were pissing about with last season with them three disasters that we had. I said it before about Hermansson, but I even think with Stolarček, I think we'd have probably stayed up. I think he'd have made enough saves from goals that we conceded.
He makes me feel safe, Jordan.
He's just a good goalkeeper, like you said, and he's not as good with his feet, but so what? I mean, there's obviously this obsession with every goalkeeper has to be able to pass the ball out, and you know, that's not for everyone, but shot stopping, he's good. And I should know how old he is, but I don't. But when he's in the team, he doesn't
check. He's young.
Do you know what I mean? He doesn't look like he's out of place.
22. I think
I think he's about that. Yeah,
it looks like all the other players trust him as well. And he looks like he fits in. And I think there was a moment yesterday, obviously, he saved the pen, which I think I might have been able to
23.
Save that bad. There you go, he's only young. And then, you know, there was a moment yesterday, I think Choudhury made a block and he jumped up celebrating and gave Choudhury a massive hug. And I thought, you know, for a second choice keeper to come in and just like his whole, like he's got an aura about him. I really rate him, I do.
And it's so what would you do? What would you do next year?
It's a really tough one, isn't it, with second choice goalkeepers? They've got to be the strangest breed in professional football because they're more or less happy just to sit on the bench all their career. But
he's not going to develop, is he, unless he plays?
It depends what league we're in, obviously. But
yeah,
I would like to see him just go and play football. Can you say play football for a goalkeeper?
Yeah. Get games.
Yeah. I'd like to see him get some experience and be number one somewhere. I think he's a very decent keeper.
Yeah, I agree. We'll touch on that other player I was going to mention in a couple of moments. But Rick, we've got our next guest. Who do we have, please?
Wayne is in the house. The house of Wayne. How you doing, mate?
Well, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for coming on.
Great show.
Oh, thank you. Now, you always interact with us, which is much appreciated, mate. So, yeah, I'll pass over to Jake to ask the questions. I think it's the same as we've asked everyone else.
I don't mean it like that.
I mean it as in because it's interesting to get everyone's views on where they are with our situation.
Yeah, no, Wayne, this is the first question we've asked the others. You sat there with a smile on your face. You don't look nervous. But how are you feeling about the rest of the season? Are you calm, cool, collected, think we'll be fine? Or are you getting Tom Skinner a little bit shaky?
It depends which one of you lads are speaking in your pods. You know, it fluctuates. But we've had a great season. It's all about context, isn't it? You know, so would we have taken this at the beginning of season? Yes. But the context is with the gap we had to where we are now and Leeds going top. And Ipswich and Leeds have got fighting spirit, which I think was crucial. When we won the Premiership the year before, we did the Great Escape, which then gave us as a team fighting spirit, which helped a lot. You know, every team hated playing us. And we had some skill as well with Vardy and Mahrez. So, yeah, it is worrying.
I have to say no. And I agree. I mean, there's a little bit of both there, kind of almost with Jordan. But then also then that part of, you know, the signs maybe haven't been great over the last few years, Wayne. And I know it's, you know, a different manager and lots of different players. But I don't know. I mean, again, this is very much my opinion. I do have that. Not a sinking feeling, but I am almost preparing myself for the worst. The point that I was asking the lads earlier, what are the dates of the playoffs? And thinking, right, do I reckon I can emotionally put myself through this? Because I hadn't at any point over the last, 8 months considered that it was even a possibility. But now I'm having to accept it may well be.
I think it's like with what happened when we didn't qualify for the Champions League. And with the financial fair play, which you lads have covered, you know, we tried really hard. It didn't quite work out. If we'd gotten Champions League, would we have attracted better players and it been in a very different position? But financial fair play, if they'd have sorted that out during the season, would we still win in the Premiership? But I do, you know, one thing I chatted with my brother when we were watching the match on Sunday, and he said he does question Maresca's. He thinks he's a great coach. But in-game tactics and substitutes choice, he did say that really like McKenna at Ipswich and Carrick at Middlesbrough, you know, did they out-tactic him and did they know how to play against Maresca? The one big puzzling thing with me was Kode. You know, came in, nobody expected Bournemouth. It was a loss, basically. We had a brilliant game, competitive all through the team. Cody was very good in that game. And we'll never get Huth or Morgan back, but he is one of those kind of characters. And all good teams have had a skill, but they have had steel and fight. And, you know, Leeds have got a lot of flair, but they have got a lot of bite. And Ipswich, straight up from League One, winning mentality. They're used to fighting for things. And have Leicester got that? That's my question.
No, I think it's a really fair question. I really do. And Rick, I'm going to come to you again just on this substitution one, because I know you mentioned it earlier, and I feel like you'd remember more so maybe than me or Jordan. Not sure if I'm doing you a disservice, Jordan. But in terms of the substitutions, now that we've touched on it before, you know, when I'm thinking of games against Ipswich and others where McKenna makes a sub and it has an impact. Yeah. And you know, there's been times where Enzo just hasn't made substitutions. But also on the times that he has done, it does feel, as you said, just like he's doing it for the sake of making a substitution. You know, there's no real, you know what, I'm going to put this person on and change it this way because I've seen a weakness in that team I think this player can utilise. I don't think we've seen that at any point. And I'm thinking, at what point, other than Cassidy scoring that last-minute one right at the start of the season, have we seen a sub actually come on and have an impact, change the game?
The only subs that have made an impact is when Vardy's come on and scored goals in 2024. Mm. And Eunice did against Swansea. We scored after about a minute, Dewsbury Hall, and then we started to miss chances and then toil. And then he brought Yunus on, and he was involved with Daka winning the penalty, and then he scored straight after. But other than that, we've not seen, certainly not in 2024. I think the first third of the season, he would make subs like he without question. He'd take Ndidi off after 55 minutes. He'd take Jusby Hall off if he looked tired. He'd take Mavadidi off. He'd take anyone off, and he'd replace in numbers, because the idea was, we're going to dominate possession, we're going to tire and wear them out, and we're going to go like for like in our philosophy. Whereas now, it's almost like we'll take the odd one off, but we won't be changing anything. We're not going to go like for like. We're not going to improve things. You know, Ipswich, I don't know, Leeds have done it, but Ipswich are the ones that you see. They're often losing with 20 minutes to go. And they've got these, you know, they've got a lot of forward or attack-minded players that they can bring on, and they go for it. You question, why aren't they playing to start with? Because you watch them, and they seem to have an impact week in, week out. But, you know, it is what it is. There's obviously method behind it. But I think the stark difference for Leicester between the first part of the season and now is, it's like he doesn't trust the squad like he did at the start of the season. But I don't think it's about trust at the start of the season. It was that he didn't necessarily have that bond with his preferred XI. So he went and played whoever was there on the bench. But it worked. Mm. Why not utilise that? I mean, the Bournemouth game is the elephant in the room for me, because it's the one performance in the last six, seven, eight games where we genuinely played, like, we defended well, we were aggressive, we were intense, we attacked well, and this was largely with fringe players. Why has he not thought, okay, maybe I've been a bit, a bit ignorant and blinkered to these players that might be able to come in? No, if anything, he then doubled down on his preferred starting 11 and didn't give Cody any more football, particularly, although he did play him against Sunderland, but only because we'd lost versus QPR. You know, Albrighton had a good shift in that game, and there was other players that really play well. I don't get why he's not. You know, they're fatigued, so you need to replace in en masse to try and give the same intensity as you start games. It's a real. I'd love someone to really question it and say that, as I say, you made subs at the start of the season, you don't now. Why? Players are fatigued. You're saying you need the international break. You're saying all this, but you're still playing them. What's that all about? Like, but nobody will, or it'll get shut down.
Hard to disagree with any of that. Wayne, then on that group, what would you do with the team? Would you make those changes, or do you think that Enzo's, you know, picking the best team and that's the way to go?
I think it's like what Rick said. He was rotating at the beginning of the season, but I think he was just like trying. It's almost like playing sort of a puzzle, and you try loads of different combinations, and then eventually sort of things make sense. So, you know, can people play? Can you switch them around? What my brother said, I'm thinking, yeah, I do think he's right, because, you know, why didn't he play Albrighton, who's been there, seen it? I mean, Cody, he did that Wolves year where they stayed up. He can fight tooth and nail. And, you know, would we have stayed up in the Great Escape without Huth and Morgan? You know, and when Vardy came back, sometimes when he wasn't maybe quite back in the groove, he still did affect the game by his attitude. And attitude is a lot. You know, and when you see teams like Leeds and Ipswich match, like Rick said, they bring people off the bench who are really good offensively, but they connect in attacks and go through defences. You know, I think we struggle with that. And I think it's because he's, you know, Marcel, you know, why doesn't he play Marcel? Mavadidi, I forget what game it was. He was like smashing the floor, throwing his arms around, you know, a bit like a teenager. And there are options there. And I don't know if he's scared or, yeah, just a bit puzzling, really.
Yeah. Okay, then, Wayne, mate, we're going to leave it there, mate. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Okay. And thank you for coming on this evening. Your time is much appreciated.
Cheers, Wayne.
Thanks, mate.
You take care. Right, one, I said there was two players. There's actually another one I was going to mention as well, which I hadn't done. And it was Wayne who just mentioned Mark Albrighton. It's in part to, A, I think he should be playing more. And he offers something different. I know he's not the speedy winger that runs at fullbacks, but I mean, he's had a pretty good career of not doing that. But Jordan, it was actually the interview with Owen. I'm not sure if you saw it on BBC Radio Leicester. And it very much felt like a goodbye. He touched on the fact that there'd been no discussions whatsoever about a new contract. Look, let's not be surprised about this. He hasn't featured that much at all, and he's 34 years old. But I mean, and again, I'm not saying anything that people don't know already, but what a bloke. Like, if you just listen to him talk, he's such a nice guy. And then, yeah, on the football side of things, I thought he was harshly done by last season. You know, he was given the vice captain and then not played and then shipped out to West Brom when we needed wingers. We needed someone who could play as a wing back. Didn't get any minutes then. And this year, as we've just touched on, we've had wingers in and out of form, you know, crying out for a bit of experience, crying out for something different. And he's still barely getting any minutes. And yeah, just a quick mention for Sharkey.
Yeah, he's just a model professional, isn't he? And I think, you know, even when we won the league and throughout that period, I still think he was criminally underrated. He's just one of those wingers that he's like eternal, you know, touch cross. He's so old school. But yeah, because the game's moved on, players like that don't even get a look in, do they? And like you say, I mean, Rick said it earlier, Mavididi and Fatu seem to flip-flop between which one's going to do it on the day. And if both of them are on it, I have no doubt that we win, because both of them are an absolute handful. But if Abdul's not doing it, get Sharkey on, because you know what he's going to deliver. And if Vardy's playing down the middle, I think it was the FA Cup game, wasn't it, against Birmingham? What a cross. We were absolutely dreadful in the first half.
Same with Millwall as well, the cross for, was it for Cassaday or Cannon? It was Cassaday.
Was it Cassaday?
Cassaday's header against away at Millwall. It was a class cross.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're going to get. And I suppose he doesn't suit the system. And again, Enzo probably thinks he gives the ball away too many times because, you know, half of them will get headed away. But you go back to experience. And you need it in times like this. And if you have Cody, Vardy,
Albrighton.
Albrighton could start, but if you're winning 2-1 or you're winning with 20 minutes left, bring him on. Because he knows how to, you know, the different example, but the Cucurella goal, Abdul's not even in the picture. That's your man. And he's not really very good at that sort of thing.
But I
think we're all screaming out for experience, probably because we're a bit nervous. But yeah. And again, as Rick said with Vardy, we've got to enjoy every minute of it. And it's the same with Sharkey because, as I said, I feel like he's just been underrated pretty much his whole career, even when he's won the two biggest prizes in the game.
Yeah, some incredible moments, but you still feel like he deserved more. You know, maybe that England call-up, which never happened for him. And then, yeah, even his time at Leicester maybe deserved a little bit more as well. But we've got our last guest of the pod. Over to you once again, Rick. Who do we have now?
Yeah, welcome, Joe, aka Southwest Fox on Twitter. I think he resides in Bristol, so it'd be fascinating to know whether he's going in 2 weeks when we play down at Bristol City. But welcome, mate.
Are you there, Joe? I'm not sure he is.
No. He's here, but he's not here.
There's someone there who says they're Joe, but nobody is saying hello when being addressed as Joe. Oh, he's now muted himself.
Oh,
Joe, I can. We can't hear you, mate. All right. Right,
this Jamie, after that Doncaster Rovers call the other week. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, I'll send it. Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that the one that about where he just goes on and on about stuff? Yeah, it's amazing.
Anyway, I'm going down the south for a pint.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. All right? The bloke was just... Hey, there he is. Hey, Joe. Well, maybe there's a...
Bit of a technicality there. I apologise.
Oh, you've got a proper Bristol accent as well, haven't you, Joe? I could have guessed where you lived.
Yeah, I was born and bred in Lea, which was obviously a little village outside of Leicester, but due to family differences, I found myself residing down near Bristol. So there we are.
Yeah, you picked that up. So, Joe, how are you, mate? How are you feeling about Leicester City as a general commodity?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned. I think before the season had started, if someone had said at the back end of March that we would be a point or equivalent to Leeds at top of the table, I think we'd have all said that sounds decent and I think we'd be happy with it. However, I think what's happened is due to how we've got to the position we are currently is why so many fans are concerned. I think if it wasn't for the 17-point gap that we had from January onwards, I think that's a part of the reason why the majority of us are concerned. The major thing for me that I found in recent times is the goals have dried up. I look around at other sides like Leeds and Ipswich, who look quite free-flowing most games, even in games that, like, I watched the Bristol City Ipswich game a few weeks back where they were 2-1 down with 10 minutes to go. You always felt there was something in the air that they would, you know, get the win in the end. And something with me with Leicester currently is I just feel like with the style of play we have, which is very different to what Leeds and Ipswich are, it can become quite passive and you have to be extremely patient and hoping that the openings come. But due to the dip in form of a lot of our players, I think that's where things have started to lack.
Joe, I'm going to ask you a question, which I only feel safe enough to say because Jack's not here today and Jordan's currently on mute. But you talk about this, the goals drying up a little bit. Now, I know that he wasn't scoring much before he lost his place.
Oh, I know.
Jordan, I'm just asking the question, okay? A real journalist question. Kelechi Iheanacho, right, whilst he wasn't being prolific, he's one of them players that links up play and sometimes obviously makes other players look better. By creating and the spaces and the movement, which he does. You know, he's a clever player like that. Although he wasn't scoring, do you think maybe that's in part to a reason that the goals haven't been as free-flowing as what they were at the start of the season when he actually was playing, even though not scoring?
I think his situation is probably one of the weirdest ones, I think, across the whole season. When you look through our strikers, obviously Jamie Vardy is, well, the man that we all love and idolise, like, you know, but he's 37, so of course he's going to have to take some time out during the season where he's not going to be able to play every game, which is fine and understandable. And then you go through to Tom Cannon, who come to us injured already, so I don't think he quite sort of got himself embedded into the side as much as he had liked. Patson Daka, I think the jury's still out on him for a lot of people. I think as an athlete, I think he's probably the best and for pace. But in regards to linking play, I don't think he's quite at it. Natural finishing, I'm not convinced by that either. And then you move to Kelechi where you think, I think in the style of play we have, I can't understand how he can't play more of a leading role in it. Because I think he's very good with his back to goal. I think he's a natural finisher as well, which we've seen over the years many times. And the only thing I can think of is something personal, because maybe, I don't know, maybe he's not working hard in training or he's not adapting to the system that maybe Maresca's asking him to do. And I'm not sure. But for me, I don't know if it's to do with the contract situation. It could be that as well, where the club are saying something to him that, you know, if he doesn't sign a deal, we ain't playing him. You don't know what the behind-the-scenes story is. So, for me, I would have had him involved a lot more this season. I was very surprised to not see him on the team sheet yesterday. But for me, I think he, in this, obviously, after the international break, I would say he has to play more of a part going forward. Because, like I say, due to the goals drying up.
So, Jordan, do you not think that's a fair question? You know, that things aren't going particularly well right now. You know, he offers something different. That's what we've been talking about. You know, experience being something a little bit different, other players being tired, the goals not as free-flowing as what they once were at the start of the season. Is he not a viable option?
Well, he probably is a viable option. But
so I desperately want to say no, don't you?
No, but I suppose with Kel, his whole career at Leicester has been the curious case of Kelechi Iheanacho.
And I agree completely. Do you know what I mean? I had no arguments when he lost his place. I'm just saying, at this stage, at this point, in this scenario, is it not a fair question to ask?
I'd say there's two things. I mean, it's a fair question. There's two things for me. One is you just don't know what you're going to get. And as a manager, that is an absolute nightmare because you know, he's such a risk picking him. But the other thing I'd say in his defence and all the strikers' defence, really, when we play one up front and you've got a choice of four strikers who, to be fair to them all, at some point in this season have played their part and scored goals when one of the other strikers has come out of form. But as I say it quite a few times, as a striker, you have to be playing all the time because you get a chance and you know, you're banging them in every week. Your confidence is absolutely soaring. When you haven't been in the team for 2 months and you come in a situation like this, you get a chance, you snatch it, put it wide. We've seen that with Dakar in the last few weeks, to be fair, who I've defended, but his finishing has been appalling in the last few weeks. So, I mean, I'd love nothing more than in Kel's final season for him to rattle 10 in and prove me wrong. Don't get it wrong, but it's got to be Vardy. And then if we're struggling, then I wouldn't be averse to Kel coming off the bench because he is good at what Joe said. He is good at holding it up, bringing it into play. So again, with one up front and you've got four to choose from, it's a tough one.
Yeah. No, I think I'd go back to what it was now at the start of the season with Vardy and Kel. Rick, just on that one.
Yeah, it's come full circle, hasn't it? I think start of Jan or middle of Jan, Cannon coming in and looking impressive and Dakar doing what he'd done from the start of December, we were pretty much set on those two. And dare we say it, Vardy was almost like, well, if we get anything out of him, we'd be surprised. And Cal was in the bins, weren't he? We're done. But now you're back. I mean, it has. But this is what brings me, not going on a rant about the defence, but we have got an embarrassment of riches up front. Like we've got an embarrassment of riches at the back. We don't have that in central midfield and out wide. But, yeah, you know, the one thing that Enzo's done brilliantly is he's not just chopped and changed his strikers. He's given them enough run of games individually. Cannon's probably the one who's been dealt the harshest hand. He's not had that much football, but the other three, 5, 10, 15 games, whether they're starting every game, but they are in the top two, let's say. Dakar, who we didn't think get a sniff, he really was given that opportunity. This international break, he's got to go away and think, right, well, Vardy's obviously the main man if he's back fit from the start, but who's that second one? As George says, I mean, Dakar came here as a natural finisher. He's finishing it. He's nutmegged himself two or three times when through on goal. It's beggars believe. It defies science, to be honest. But, like, I mean, one yesterday, that header from Fatawu's cross, that was... it was... At first, though, you think that was difficult. Wasn't. Really wasn't. I think he's now... Yeah, he presses well, which... at a point in time, we needed it and we probably still need it, but maybe we defended better in the first half of the season where maybe Iheanacho didn't press and maybe I don't know, I'm clutching at straws here, but maybe there's something in that if we're not going to, maybe as we press as a team, we push up too high as a defence. Maybe we need to go, I don't know, maybe Kel comes in a little bit. But then he's on fumes now. He's on the home straight. He's leaving, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, he is. But I do. I generally feel that the wingers benefit from playing with Iheanacho, whereas they don't so much with the other strikers. At the end of the day, if they're scoring the goals and win the games, then it's not a conversation to be had. But right now, the wingers aren't playing so well, and we're not scoring as many goals. So I think just a point to bring up. Joe, back to you, mate. What do you then reckon for the rest of the season? We spoke a lot about, maybe changing up that defence, reverted back to a little bit of experience to get us over the line. How do you feel and what would you do?
Well, I think we've established now that we know Maresca is not going to deviate from the plan that he wants to envisage to the team. So I think we have to sort of accept that that's how we're going to play. That's how we're going to do it. Me personally, I think after the international break, it's a results-based business. We've got 9 cup finals in reality. If we win all of them, then we're promoted. We're back in the Premier League. However, I think it's going to take some leadership. Obviously, Maresca's not been in this position before as a manager. Obviously, with the drop in points and stuff like that, hopefully they can galvanise together over the break and they can start to look at just game by game. I personally, if we're talking about just personnel, I would bring Connor Cody in purely on the basis if he's done it before with Wolves. I think he comes across as a character who's a good leader in the squad. Obviously, I hope Vardy's back fit and obviously he can get back firing. But overall, I think the biggest thing for me would be, and it sounds cliche, would be just to concentrate on our own results and make sure that we get back to the form that we know we are capable of. We've got players in that team that can open doors the whole time. And I think the priority would be is just try and get back to that form that we had back in November, December. And it's just like a mini season at the end of a season. That's how I would look at it. But fingers crossed, that's how it pans out.
All right, well said, Joe. Mate, thank you very much for your time. Take care and thanks for listening to the pod, pals. Much appreciated.
Cheers, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Take it steady.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, pal. Yeah, no, some good calls. Rick, well done for finding them, mate. Doff of the cat.
Got them, found them hanging outside the job centre. Yeah. With me, man.
Yeah. So we're all in agreement then. We're all in agreement then that Cody, Albrighton and Ian Acho come in, yeah? Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. All right, brilliant.
What was right, that famous meatloaf song? Was it 3 out of 4 ain't bad?
Something like that.
2 out of 3.
Definitely 2 out of 3. And we are now at 1 hour 15.
And you wanted to get off early, didn't you?
Well, yeah. But, you know, I was also fully aware that we weren't going to finish when I said we would.
I thought we'd been infiltrated then by a Bristol City fan, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. For a Leicester lad, that was a strong Bristol accent, wasn't it? We didn't ask him what he's going to be doing next Friday, did we?
No.
Obviously, being in Bristol and us being there. One more player I want to mention, and to be honest, I kind of feel like moments past, but it's in my head, so I'll mention it. Callum Doyle. It's been an interesting season for him, hasn't it? Obviously, a kid coming in with a big reputation from Man City, had a good year at Cov, started the season, was very much a first choice. You know, James Justin couldn't get a kick. Obviously, then had that quite serious injury. And Rick, since he's come back, to me, he's not really looked fit. Enzo looks like he's lost complete trust in him. When I think at the start, it looked like he had complete and utter faith in him. And, you know, I know that there's so much to be decided in terms of the football club and where we're at and what goes on with us. But I wonder what happens with Callum, irrespective of what happens with us. Because I thought before that hand that he'd be a Premier League player in the making, but I'm not so convinced anymore.
I think his lack of pace is going to be the one that scuppers him. And in our system, it will scupper him. If we had a couple of able and agile centre-halves and he playing that left centre role, we could probably carry him. I actually think since he's come back, I was really scathing of him in that Millwall away game, even though he had that assist for Cannon. Thought his overall,
class, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. His overall performance, he was really, really poor. And since then, I actually think he's got better. I can't remember if it was a Swansea or Sheffield Wednesday game that he played. The first half, he was really, really strong. He was excellent away at Bournemouth. And I actually thought yesterday, in parts, he played quite well. But he gets exposed for two reasons. He's got no pace. And for a player who classes himself as a centre-half, he's actually dog mess in the air. He actually did win a few headers yesterday. But was it the Sunderland game he played? And he was getting beat by players like 4, 5, 6 inches shorter than him. So I think, you know, we don't own him. I look at Ben Nelson, similar age. Okay, he's not out and out left footed, but Nelson can play either footed. He's quite ambidextrous. I think I'd rather go with Nelson. I said it at the time. I think that's where our focus will be. I actually think what's quite depressing is Nelson might be the sort of player that we cash in on between May and June. You know, if someone's willing to risk 10, 15 million on a punt, he's going to be worth way more than that as long as his development pans out as expected. I think he'll probably go if we're in that bad a financial mess. But he's the player that I think Doyle goes back to Man City. What are you going to pay for him? I don't think it's worth it. I really don't. Without paying a load of money at the back, at centre-half. Even though he's got Jordan. A great left foot.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's technically a very good footballer.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with any of that. The one thing I would say is I think we still have to exercise a bit of caution because he had a horrific injury.
Yeah, and he's young. And he's very young.
He's young and his confidence has probably been really knocked. Even little things, you know, going into a tackle thinking, oh, I can't go through that pain again and all that sort of thing. That's when you come back from injury like that, that does go through your head. And the other thing is he a left back? I think we've got ourselves into a real mess at left back because Doyle, like Rick said, started there pretty well. And with the inverted right back, we effectively were almost pretty much a back three in possession. And Doyle kind of tucked in as that left-sided centre-half. Now, for me, he probably can play there. And that's probably his best position would be a left-sided centre-back in a back three.
Yeah, same.
But he's not a left-back or a conventional left-back in a four. And then you've ended up with the Justin dilemma in the last few weeks where he's just been miles off it. So I think with Doyle, I agree with Rick on the Nelson thing. If we go up and the price is right and we can afford it and not get a points deduction, I'd probably take him. But there's too many moving parts. There's too many variables with it at the minute. And I think it looks like one of them where he's going to move on. I mean, like I said before, my mate is a Cov fan, just couldn't believe that he didn't even get a game. But I his future looks to me like it'd be at the top end of the Championship next season anyway. But that said, like I say, if the price is right and we can, I would take him because I think there is going to be a player there, but it's a bit of a gamble. And he's suspended for the next few games. So Justin's going to have to play and he's going to have to find some form because he's not been his usual self recently. So, yeah, like I say, too many moving parts for me on that one.
Okay, no, fair enough. Right, so shall we do... Yeah, we're definitely going to do a little bit of Who Are You? Can't remember who's doing it,
it's
but
me.
Let's play the music. All right,
worst,
Rick's on it. Let's have our
worst
music.
Worst part of the show.
Come on.
Who is your daddy? And what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then. So Rick says it is he who is in charge of Who Are You because you got Paulo Ferreira. Marco Ferreira.
Yeah.
That was the right back. Marco Ferreira. Getting my Portuguese right-sided players mixed up. you got Marco.
I did. Right. I did. You got and Marco I've got Ferreira. One. I've got one for you. Let's see if Jordan can make it competitive, let's say.
without Jack at the moment, it's man on man.
It's like a penalty kick, isn't it? But
I always have a guess.
You do, mate.
You always have a guess, yeah. Full marks for like enthusiasm.
Okay, first clue.
Go on.
You ready? He was born on the 20th of August 1977 in Barking, London.
God.
He's 46. Cockney.
He's a Cockney.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I never guess on the age.
47.
Okay. He's 46. I'm going to go in, if no one's having a punt, I'm going to go in with a bit of a left field second clue, which could be nonsense, or you might get it
because
But he has been interim manager of Colchester United three times in the last 3 or 4 years.
Is it not someone who we're potentially going to get on the pod, Guy Branston?
No, it's not. But I won't say anything more. But no, that's not him.
Right. I've been across Colchester for my other job, and I feel like I'm very aware they've had lots of interims. They've had Hayden Mullins recently. They've had Matthew Everington. They've now got the Cowleys. Who is at that club who stepped in three times? I really should know this.
You've already had your guess as well, haven't you? So, George, are you coming in or I'm going to have to do another clue?
I'm absolutely racking my brain to this one.
I'm going to get this. But obviously, once Rick gives me another clue, because I've got to know this. 46.
Why is it when it's a Cockney, I'm just thinking cheeky chappy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It all automatically springs to mind.
Right, I don't think Jordan's got a guess, has he?
No.
All I'll say, just as a follow-up on that, not that I'm then expecting answers, but on the third time he got the interim, he then did get it permanently for a stint. Although he's not now the manager again. So, okay, right, next clue. Let's go back to his playing days. He started his career at Ipswich Town between the years of 1997 and 2002, playing 40 times.
Not Scowcroft?
Not Scowcroft, no.
We had him by then, didn't we?
Can you say that clue again? So Ipswich
He started his career at Ipswich Town in 1997, and he stayed there until 2002, making 40 appearances. He went on loan a few times during that as well.
Right, I really should be getting this because I know there's a load of ex-Ipswich boys at Colchester because they signed Luke Chambers, Cole Skews. They signed
he did also play at Colchester. I mean, he made the most appearances at Colchester out of his entire career.
Right. This is poor from me. I've not got this yet because I know everything around your clues apart from the answer.
Do you want me to bring in a Leicester-based question now, then? Are you going to have a nibble?
I haven't got a nibble, but I really should. Loads of games for Colchester. Started at Ipswich, played for Leicester, and he's been caretaker and also managed them. This is poor from me.
Yeah, he went on loan to Colchester twice and then went permanently there and played 124 games.
What, on loan from us?
No. But in his career, he went to Colchester twice on loan and then permanently and played 124 games. This was before he came to us.
Before?
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go to a Leicester. So he joined us on loan in the 2008-2009 season initially and played 9 games under Nigel Pearson before then joining us permanently the following season.
This is poor from me. But he's 46, so he wasn't young.
No. He joined us in 2009, so that would have been... He would have been 32 when he joined us.
This is really embarrassing. I've gone completely blank. And now, because of the pressure of me knowing I should have this, my brain is hurting so much, I now can't think of anything.
We signed him from Hull City.
Damien Delaney? That's far too early.
No, we got Delaney from Ireland, and then I think he ended up at Hull, didn't he?
About 20 years earlier.
Can't lose to Jordan. Went to Colchester. Oh dear. Is it Wayne Brown?
Correct.
Oh fuck off. I was gonna say him as well, but I thought I didn't want to say him.
I can't remember him coming through at Ipswich.
I was going to use the next clue. Was going to be he caused controversy with his political opinions, which I thought meant Jordan.
I did think Wayne Brown, but I thought surely we're not picking him for Who Are You? I thought players like him would have been banned. It's like picking Dennis Wise.
I thought I'd go with someone with a bit of controversy because you know it's been on over a year now. You got to. Is that a bit of a political choice? Should I not have chosen him?
No, he's managed a few clubs though, has he not? Have you not got his?
Yeah, he's been around a bit, hasn't he?
He's managed Colchester caretaker, Maldon and Tiptree.
I was going to say he's living in that Essex way, yeah.
Then he came back to Colchester again. He's done a lot of under like the academy at Colchester by the looks of it. And then he was Colchester manager permanently after his third stint in 2022. And he was given that for he only lasted about 4 months, and half of that was pre-season. So, yeah, he didn't do too well, which,
Right. Well, I think we need to apologise to the listeners because that was like pulling teeth.
I'm glad I didn't get that one.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Out of principle, Jordan yeah. didn't win that out of principle.
Staged a dirty protest.
Moment there where I thought I was going to actually lose one and you were going to win one.
But I genuinely thought it was Wayne Brown, but even Rick won't pick someone like that.
It's weird though with Wayne. I know you shouldn't, but for one side, put the political ideologies and opinions and whatever to one side. When he did come in as purely as a footballer, he was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, for someone of his age and that time, he was just the perfect player, wasn't he? That it was a young team going through a transition. He just came in and steadied everything. I can't remember. There's a weird thing is I can't remember, and this is a disclaimer here, anything about his career other than the time he spent with us and how he left us. I didn't know he signed in from Hull. I had no idea he'd come through at Ipswich. And Colchester kind of rings a bell. But do you know what I mean? It's interesting.
It's one of those where you're like, wouldn't. If you'd read, I honestly wouldn't have got him. I would not have got him from any of that. It's one of those beige players that you'd be like, what? Yeah. And as George said, he's the pit. So you wouldn't even have.
But we often go for players who have played like none or one. But Wayne Brown played a lot and was important.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything about his career.
Just looking through his career. Yeah, I mean, don't surprise that he played for Gillingham. He's just missing Millwall off there, and he completed the set.
For the set and Leighton Orient.
he was at Maldon and Tiptree.
Yeah, and I remember
that. Did he go to Leighton Orient and win in the FA Cup when he was manager?
I'm not sure. I've heard his name a little bit in the coaching circles, but obviously not that well, because otherwise I would have got that a lot sooner.
The reason why when you said Guy Branston, and I said, no, I was going to say another centre half, but yeah, that would have been quite obvious, but yeah.
Yeah. All right then. Right. So, lads, 1 hour, 32 minutes. Yeah. On the podcast, I mentioned last week when we were about 1 hour 27. I wonder if anybody listens to the end. Yeah. Loads of people message to say, "Yeah, we hear. We get to the end. To the end of a business section." So that's where we're at. Any other business? Rick, come to you first because Jordan always tends to have.
I've actually got two.
Go on.
First one, I'm going to say, and it's about Jordan. So people may not have listened to it yet, but I really, really encourage everyone to listen to Matt Piper's podcast. What is it? Out in the Darkness or In the Darkness. And Jord was on there. And I mean, I've already messaged Jord to tell him this. I cannot speak highly enough about Jord and how eloquently you talk about mental health and your own lived-in experiences. Because listening to that last week, Matt, I'm going to be 100% honest, I've struggled recently, mainly with my physical health, but also that has taken its toll on my mental health. Maybe I was already seeing some green shoots of recovery, but since listening to you and the way that you talk then, honestly, mate, it's just been a cloud lifted. I've been out running a few times, and it's like you said about the 1% and taking care of yourself more. And genuinely, it's really resonated with me. So, yeah, you, as I said to you, you've got a massive gift there in, not necessarily because of what you've lived, you know, I really wish you'd not experienced what you've experienced, but what you've done professionally with your masters, etc. But yeah, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, mate. You've got a lot of love and sort of advice to give. And yeah, thank you for doing that podcast, because I think a lot of people can resonate to what you've said there. So yeah.
Well, thanks, mate. You're going to make me well up.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's really good, mate.
I listened as well, and yeah, Jordan, it was, yeah, really, really good. I think what Rick says completely, anyone who hasn't yet listened, go do the same. And the podcast in general, there's been lots of guests. I listened to the one with Jersey Bud as well today, yeah. A friend of the show, Jersey, a superb bloke as well. And yeah, no, it's well worth listening. Yeah, Jordan, it was great, mate.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, I spoke to Pipes about doing a dual episode between both pods, which could be chaos in the end, but yeah, I mean,
tried that before. never got aired.
But yeah, look, I think it's probably fair to say that all three of us have had various struggles at different points, and I got a few messages from listeners of the pod, but you know, we've got to change the stigma, especially around, I'm passionate about it, but we've got to change the stigma, especially around men, because the biggest risk to all three of us here is suicide, which just, I know people go, oh, it's 2024, but that just cannot be happening anymore. So, you know, like if you've lived through it, if you've had those experiences, you're not alone, and speak up about it. It's the only way things are going to change.
Mm. And obviously then a quick plug for LAMP as well, you know, a charity which we work with and we donate to. I know that Liam, who runs that charity, spoke to us earlier on about some new kind of initiatives that they're working on to raise some money. So we'll stick that across our social platforms over the coming days. It's about kind of getting out there and getting active and raising some money for them. So, yeah, we like to do that as regular listeners of the pod. Have a listen for that. Have a look for that. And, yeah, keep an eye out then for this live show, which we will do, depending on when it will be, for obvious reasons. And again, that will all be in association with and raising money for LAMP. Rick, what was your other one, mate?
Yeah, the second one is similarly quite serious, but I should have mentioned it on last week's pod. Again, something I've struggled with over the years with being a compulsive gambler, but obviously Cheltenham was on last week, and I know that was a big trigger of mine in the past. So again, anyone that has experienced, you know, struggles with gambling and has been exacerbated with last week, there is help out there. Yeah, I'm certainly available to give advice. I know how desperate it can get and feel, but yeah, just thoughts are with anyone that's struggling. Maybe you don't even realize you are, but maybe just have a little think about what's going on. Enjoy it, but enjoy it by being disciplined, eh? But that's all I was going to say. I should have mentioned it last week. I was kicking myself all week. But yeah, hopefully everyone's well and don't need my advice in that regard, because there are souls out there, that industry, and it's a massive pandemic. Mental health, anything with regards to people with gambling. But yeah, that's it from me. I'll get back to being a jovial llama twat next week.
All right then, Jordan, take it away. Any other business, mate? Anything to add?
Didn't have any, because Rick's covered it. A couple of points on that. I don't have social media other than Instagram, but I saw a tweet the other day that said the amount of gambling adverts on that platform last week was absolutely ridiculous. And that was from someone who said they didn't struggle with gambling. I only, you know, thankfully never been afflicted by it. I never gamble when it's Cheltenham, maybe two or three races at the festival. But again, good to call that out, Rick. I've got a really dear friend who, he used to work for Sky Bet. He's now gone full circle. He works for anti-gambling provision in professional sport. And he says it's just so rife in professional sport. It's something that, you know, never really gets mentioned. So good to call that one out, Rick. And all I was going to say is the LAMP 5K.
Yes.
I think is in May.
Yeah.
Was that right? Yeah. So we'll plug that. And you might have seen the big, strong Leicester Boys social club on some of the LAMP adverts. It's something we're trying to get kicked off. We want to do maybe two or three a year in association with them. Maybe down the Q Club was mentioned in Wigston. Hopefully getting a certain professional snooker player along if we can. We've got another few guests hopefully lined up, like Jake dropped one in Who Are You earlier. So they were the only two from me. But Rick,
wait around.
I'm not here that week.
All right then, lads. Right, yes, I think it actually is a new record for this length of podcast. So I'll now edit this and get it online. Chaps, thank you very much. It's not Wayne Brown next week. There may be a different guest. So thank you once again for listening. We've got an international break, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
So we'll still do something. We'll have this chat in the group. Yeah. And by this point next week, you'll have some idea whether there's a podcast or not. Right, guys, take care. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back very, very soon.
Podcast Network.